There are seven characters from Adam to Joseph, and they give us the seven stages of the Christian's journey. Aren't you glad for the book of Genesis? The scientists, modern day scientists, are so proud of themselves for breaking the genetic code, and they're finally studying and understanding genes. And we've been looking at the book of Genesis for years. It's the first book we study. That's our pre-K. The world's just now getting there, and we've had it for several centuries. They're trying to figure out how the little DNA thing goes up, and we've been knowing for several centuries now. Several millennia. God's people been studying the book of Genesis. They just now figured it out, and they're doing their best to find anything to wiggle on planet Mars. So they can call that mother or father. They're already calling this planet mother, and they're wanting to call Mars father. You better believe that's right. Listen, if you turn your back on God and light, you can get so goofy as to where you won't even know if you're a man or you're a woman. If that wasn't so tragic, that'd be funny. But it's sad. And we've had the book of Genesis from the beginning. Almost ran right there. Surprised myself. In the beginning, God. The old man I studied behind said, you put your hand on that doorknob right there and said, if you don't believe the Genesis 1:1, you're not allowed to believe any of the rest of it. Said, but if you believe that one, he'll let you believe the rest of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. About to shout. So from Adam to Joseph, that's our text. And it won't take me long, or it won't feel long to me. That's the difference. Amen. Lord, thank you for Calvary. And Father, I know nothing by myself. Now I need your touch. Preaching is your business. Lord, I'm not good at it, and the man that thinks he is the worst. Father, this is eternal business. This is revelation business. You don't touch the scales on our carnal minds, God will not understand, will not see, will not believe anything, will not be delivered. The truth won't set us free unless you make it ours. God, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. All the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. And so from Adam to Joseph, now you bear with me. The Lord put this in my heart a week or two before I got here. And I give up on that last battle in Genesis 14. I don't reckon I'm ever going to fight that battle. I've been trying a week and can't get to it.
God bless
you. But the Lord put this in my heart. It's an old study to me from a few years ago, and I've not brushed up on it. And that's fine, because then I'd think I'd know what I was supposed to say to you. And preaching is God's business. The Lord showed me a few years ago, and I don't mind sharing with you Bible students, a great writer named Andrew Jukes. And like a juke joint. That's funny. Andrew Jukes. And just some great thoughts through the book of Genesis. And it would serve you well. He also has a book on the names of the Lord. And he's got a book on the types in Genesis. And I didn't understand half what he said, but I enjoyed feeding behind him. And this little thing just sprung out of one thing he said. And God gave us, ain't you glad God gave us that Bible?
Amen.
And so Adam to Joseph, y'all ready? We're going to go through it one time, maybe go through it a second time, make three comments, Lord willing, and that'll be that. Amen. I got to find a Waffle House before it closes. They don't close. Amen. There's several women down there, none of them got all their teeth, but they make some chili that'll blow the roof off of things. Amen. Some old boy just got out of prison, flipping pancakes down there. Or waffles, actually. Waffle House. Here you go, Adam to Joseph. I think I'll run through them fast, give you an idea to marinate and soak it, and then we'll go back and talk about it for a minute. Adam, and maybe there's a new Christian here. You hadn't read it in a long time. And we all read Genesis every January. Nobody ever makes it to Numbers, but we got Genesis well covered. Amen. Adam is a picture of the sinner that fell into sin and then got saved. God came in the garden and dressed him and covered his sin. Amen. And then Cain and Abel. Abel being the same. Abel and his brother Cain. Then is a picture of Adam, the saved man. And he gave birth to two natures that struggled against each other. And so there's salvation. And then in Cain and Abel, we see the struggle. Amen. The old man and the new man. Amen. Then you go on to Noah. And Noah is a picture of the spirit-filled man. A converted man. Now that's top explain things there. But do you remember when God buried you in a big casket? Amen. Flooded your world and killed everything wicked on it. Amen. Except you. Amen. And let you come out in a new world in a new day. After your struggle. After your salvation and your struggle with two natures. And then he just cleaned your world out. Let you come out in a new day. Y'all ain't helping me. Then number four, after you're filled with the Spirit, there's Abraham. And faith begins her journey. I said faith begins her journey. With all of its battles and all of its challenges and all of its promises and all of its failures, there goes faith. Abraham. And then Abraham gives way to Isaac. And Isaac, and this is where faith will take you. Isaac is the man who had no battles. And he had no work, and all he did was dwell in the land. Isaac is never seen outside the promised land. He was born in it, and he never left it. And he didn't have any battles. Abraham fought all the battles. All he did was go around and clean the wells out. That is he's a picture of rest in the land. And then Isaac gives way to Jacob. And he's a picture. I'm doing kung fu on my head cold. Jacob, I'm keeping it from getting in my mouth. Jacob is a picture of service. Because after God fills you with the Spirit and faith takes you to the promised land and you learn to live in the promised land, then you'll go somewhere and serve God. And Jacob went for 20 years and he labored for brides and for flocks. I'll back it up and give you a chance to act like something other than a Lutheran. Jacob's a picture of service. He went out and he served in a far land. He served for the bride. And he served for the flocks of sheep. That he would one day bring home back to the Father. And back to the homeland. Hallelujah to God. Almost ran right there. And then that brings you finally to his seed. There's Joseph, who is a picture of great suffering, who's finally crowned and exalted with glory. Amen. There's Joseph. We see him suffering. We see him trying. And ain't you glad God waits for you to come all through all them other stages before he'll put you through that suffering? You couldn't handle it way back yonder, but you can handle it now. And then finally brought out of the earthen dungeon. Raiment changed. One of these days I'll be brought out of earth dungeon. Resurrected to a throne. And sit there in glory. And rule and reign. Y'all ain't helping me. Hallelujah. There's your seven stages. Now I'm going to go through them again. You might be surprised. It'll be almost just as quick. Maybe. Let's talk about Adam. There's where our story began. God didn't make us to put us in hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. We were all sinners and we sinned. And there's Adam fell into sin. And he said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, ye shall surely die. Now, how come Adam didn't fall over that particular day? Because the Lord's day is not our day. His ways not our ways, and his days ain't our days. I'm going to say this, and you finish the quote. A day with the Lord is as a, and a thousand years is as, amen. I wondered where that was in Psalms. I made a note of that thing the other day. I want to show you something if I can find it. Psalm 90, ain't it? Oh, there it is. Go to Psalm 90. You might like this. You might like this. Double dog dare you to go to the 90th Psalm. There's a half a dozen happy bubbles sitting there waiting on you. Thank God. So now, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Don't feel bad if you don't know it. I wouldn't know it if I hadn't studied it. How old was Adam when he died? Pastor, you can't play this game. How old was Adam when he died? Y'all heard the pastor say that. Nephew, you can't be cheating like that. 930. I'm going to ask y'all a question. How many days are we allotted? 70 it is. What's 930 plus 70? God let me and you live out his day. We're in that curse. He lived 930 and we only got, and here it is, it's all in the same Psalm. Psalm 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. As I watch it tonight, that's where Simon Peter got the quote when he said, 1,000 is a day 1,000. And in that same psalm, look in verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. Isn't that neat how he put that in the same psalm? Adam lived 930, and that's why it's our given allotment to finish out Adam's day. 70. Why do you think he's going to raise us up in the last day and we're going to get to spend that day with the Lord? That millennial reign, y'all ain't helping me. That millennial reign ain't nothing more than us finally get to spend a day with God. Before we get out into eternity where there is no shadow, no sun, no moon. Amen. Out there where there is no time. Perfect time, perfect temperature. One preacher said. Amen. You stand on the floor of heaven. It's a sea of glass. Frozen ice. Amen. The universe does have a ceiling. The second heaven has a ceiling. And it's the floor of heaven. But we ain't going there right now. Hallelujah to God. Leave me alone. There it is, Adam. I just want to stop and say there's Adam in that garden. And here he came. The Lord God, Adam! Adam! Wherefore art thou? My. Ain't you glad for the day that you realize you was a sinner? You was trying to hide behind anything you could find. Fig leaves. God came to the garden and you didn't die. But an animal did. I wish I had somebody. God made them coats of skin that day. The Bible didn't say it was a lamb, but I'll bet you it was. Oh! Do you remember there the day God came to your garden and you were naked and ashamed and in guilt and hiding behind fig leaves? But he had a tree for you to hide behind. Better than a leaf. He had a tree. Calvary's tree. Thank God for it. Amen. Woo! Thank God, honey. Our Adam, the first Adam, went into his garden and he dealt with his tree. And he said to God, not thy will, but my will be done. But I'm glad what the first Adam messed up, the second Adam fixed up. For the last Adam, the second Adam, he came into his garden of Gethsemane and he dealt with his tree called Calvary. And he prayed there and said, not my will, but thine be done. Thank God, and he covered me with a coat of righteousness. Hallelujah. I'm covered. If there wasn't six more things there, I'd just preach a while. Number two, there he has two sons, Cain and Abel. And you see the struggle of two natures. What about that? I want to stop and say this. We ain't going to stay here long unless you need it. Every saved man better figure out that there's an old man in there wanting to kill the new man. And there's a new man in there that God gave witness to. Amen. By fire falling from heaven. That was the evidence. That was the evidence. And there's O Abel. And there's Cain and Abel. And Cain kills his brother. Rises up to slay his brother. And he hates him. And he's got murder in his heart. Because he had that man-made religion. And I got news for you. There is, in every saved man, there is two natures. I wish I had somebody. There's two natures. And I got news for you, honey. There's a Cain and there's an Abel. I don't want to, I ain't going to spend a lot of time in on any of these unless we need to. But I want you to know that the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Galatians 5:17. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are the contrary one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. What a great little phrase. I'm glad the Bible's honest. I about ran just right then. I'm glad the Bible's transparent. Glad that Bible ain't as religious as some men. Because if we had wrote the Bible, we'd have never known that Noah got drunk and immorality took place after they entered in the new world. We'd have never known that Moses had a temper problem right up to the end. We'd have never known that Abraham, the father of the faith, every time he got in a bad neighborhood, lied about his wife so he wouldn't get beat up. The very Abraham who took 318 men and whooped five kings for his sorry nephew could never feel that way on a day when he needed to with his poor wife. He was up and down. And honey, if God hadn't been honest, we'd have never heard the Pentecostal preacher cursing shortly before he preached. We'd have never known that great King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the apple of his eye. We'd have never known the propensity and capacity he had for such depravity. You know what amazes me about David is he prayed like an old saint as a young man and then prayed like a fallen sinner. As an old saint. Psalm 51, after the great sin with Bathsheba, Lord, have mercy upon me. But you see him as a young man writing psalms in high and heavenly exaltations, great and glorious. There's just something amazing about that. That God let an old saint pray like a messed up sinner. We only let sinners pray like sinners. And old saints are supposed to pray like the high and holy old saints. And I loved that sweet prayer that sweet man prayed a while ago. And had that trembling tone in his voice of an old, of another generation. I'm not exalting that dear brother. I'm exalting the Lord in him. But he paid a price to have what he had. You better believe that. A man to pray like that. But ain't you glad God lets old saints fall on their face after they fell on their face? And say, Lord, have mercy on me. It sounded like a newborn sinner trying to get in. Almost ran just then. Hey, hey, I'm glad I heard the Apostle Paul confess his lust. It's the only sin he ever mentioned that he wrestled with. Then Romans 7. Yea, I had not known lust except the commandment came along and sin revived. One preacher I studied behind said lust could have been Paul's thorn in the flesh. I never heard nobody else say that. We got him way up there, Paul, you know. But if you look up there, he ain't up there. He's way down there telling us, I'm the chief of sinners. Oh, my. Okay, we got so many stages here. And there's that you cannot do the things that you would. And I heard a gray-haired preacher explain it like this. There's a law of sin indwelling your members. I need to say this quick. Aren't you glad there's a greater law? I need to say that quick, lest some of you think, Baptist. Well, y'all believe once you get saved, you can go living on in sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Amen. We'll say this, y'all holler amen to make it go faster. There's a big difference in you living in sin because you want to, and then sin living in you. And you hate it that it does. And if you're living in sin, honey, you're in trouble. But if you're a child of God, you're living in sin. He's got a whooping waiting on you. And it will change your mind. And it will change your direction. Amen. You know the difference in a spanking and a whooping. Spanking won't change your mind, you know, a whooping will. A spanking is a few licks. But a whooping is a few licks short of eternity. And I hear it and see these people on aisle number 2 at Walmart threatening that kid with a spanking. And on aisle 7, when I bump it, he's acting the same way. That young has had too many spankings, and he never had a whooping. My daddy was old-timey. He never listened to James Dobson and all this family talk and psychology and let's hold hands and have group discussion. There wasn't no group hugs. Wasn't no let's hold hands and talk about it. It's that hold your ankles. Phew! Honey, if you're a child of God, you can't live in sin. Not for long. Not enjoy it. Oh, but there is a reality that sin is living in us. There's a law of indwelling sin, but it is outdone and outpowered and outmaneuvered by the greater law of the indwelling spirit. Amen. Somebody said, you cannot do the things that you would. The flesh is pulling you down to some deep, dark, depraved places. And you'll never go quite as far as it wants you to because there's a tug another way. You can't do the things you would. And then there's some high and heavenly holy, high aspirations we've reached for the star. And I never quite can do those things that I would because there's a pullback. But he knows I want to. He knows I don't want to do that, though the old man wants to. And he knows that though I can't quite, I really want to. And he, amen. And he don't need me to do them things near as bad as I think he does. He's got all that covered anyhow. All right, y'all doing all right? Number 3, there's Noah. Now you're moving through Genesis. You got Adam, the picture of a man getting saved. And then the offspring, two sons, two natures. And there's the struggle. Struggle of two natures. And then thank you, ain't you glad that God doesn't leave you in that struggle? He can fill you with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible moves on to a man named Noah. And God just killed everything evil in his world. Y'all got to help me now. I mean, we're stating the obvious. His world was filled with abominations and devils and sins. And so God just drowned it all. And put him in a big old casket before he did. They was shaped like a big old coffin, a wooden coffin. This is just a big old coffin. That's all it was. Yeah, God buried him and then killed everything in his wicked world. I'm going to say this. Y'all supposed to act right. You holler amen. You act like New England Dutch Episcopalians. I'm throwing the pumpkin at you. Ain't you glad God can take a man that's been saved and struggling with them two natures and just flood his world? Amen. With a flood it. Fill it with water that kills everything evil in it. Get rid of all the sins and all the sinners and all the sinning. I wish I had somebody. God, I kill it! Drown your world with a flood! I believe he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Be filled with that Spirit. And there Noah comes out in a new day. God had buried him up in that oversized coffin. And when they come out of that thing, that was a new world. God had cleaned it up. Ain't you glad God would bury you somewhere and just flood your world? And when you get out of there, it's a new day. The Spirit-filled life. He's a converted man. That word converted is what the Lord Jesus told Simon Peter. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Conversion means you change something. You change something that don't work in one system, but it'll work in another. We have to get them converters and adapt when we make our trip over to Europe. Because you got to be able to switch. It's another world system over there, and what we got won't plug into what they got. We have to convert that power. God will bring us something that will change us from our world to where we can plug into His world. And thou art converted. And Noah's that Spirit-filled man. And you remember when God buried some of you?
Oh, yes.
I like what was in that ark. Honey, they was all them sacrificial lambs in there.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That thing was lifted up above the floodwaters, and God let him and them live because it had all them lambs in it. It had the sacrifice. Yes. The blood sacrifice was in that coffin. That'd be fun for you to think about. Oh, my. The Spirit-filled life. Honey, God means. God didn't mean for you to stay in Romans 7. He meant to move you on to Romans 8. You go look in Romans 7, and there's only one mention of the word Spirit. And it's a small s.
Right.
Only one mention of Spirit. And it's a small s. It's your spirit. It's the spirit of man. But there's all that struggle with sin. But honey, you shift gears and move over to Romans 8 and verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. He shows you that new walk and said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And then, Romans 7, you had all that flesh and all that failure and all that struggle and only one mention of Spirit, and it was your Spirit.
Right.
But in Romans 8, there's over and over and over and over the mentions of the Holy Spirit with a capital S.
Amen.
God doesn't mean for us to live under the law of sin, but under the law of the Spirit.
Amen.
Noah. And then where does the Spirit-filled life take you? It takes you to a journey of faith.
Yes.
As you come out of that thing and end up, here comes the next big character, Abraham. And in chapter 12, and there's Abraham, and he takes a journey of faith. And faith begins. There's up chapters and down chapters and good times and bad times. And there are seasons of manifestations and visitation. And there are seasons of withdrawal and withholding. And there are times that God would sit with him. And there are other times he wouldn't see the Lord in a decade. He'd had 13 years of silence at one point. That's what faith is about. Faith ain't going to help your feelings. Faith is going to hurt your feelings. Faith went, and Abraham's the father of the faith. He's a picture of faith, and faith will take you on a journey. Faith will separate you. Faith will send you. Faith will scare you. Sarah, where are we? Faith went on a journey. And honey, you get filled with the Holy Ghost of God, He'll take you on that journey of faith. And then where does that take us? Where does that take us? Takes us to the life of Isaac. And Isaac has that rest in the land. Isaac lives in the land and nowhere else. Honey, what do you think God's wanting to do with you? Hebrews 4, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And honey, if you can get in, Abram was a journeying to the land of Canaan, but Isaac lived in it. And faith will take you, honey, to where the Spirit-filled life will give you the faith to take the journey. And you can get to where you can live in the land and rest in the land. Just keep the wells cleaned out and keep the water flowing. And they'd come along and take his wells, the Philistines, and he'd move down the road and dig another. I got a good sermon you ought to hear sometime on the seven wells of Isaac's life. And Isaac would say, boys, you can have the well, but you can't have my water. He'd go down to the next one, honey, and just dig another well. And he said, y'all can have that well, but you can't have my water. There's always water here, and it's always... And before he's done, though, they all come back and bowed before him, and he run and owned the whole land.
Right.
He rested in the land. He lived in the land. And oh, don't we need some Spirit-filled Christians whose journey of faith has took them to where they stay in the land?
Amen.
People who learn how to abide in Christ. People who learn how to rest in Christ. People who learn how to stand in Christ. Isaac didn't have any battles. Abraham fought all them. Faith will fight all them battles. And then it'll bring you to a place where you rest in the land. And the enemy comes along and says, give me that well. You can have it. I'll get it back in a minute. Before you get out of Isaiah, the very chapter where them Philistines come in there and said, give us that well. Before that chapter's done, they all bowed before him and he owned all the wells. You better learn to rest in the will of God, even if you got to move down and dig another well. Just stay in the land. Sometimes you got to go dig another well. Sometimes things end. Sometimes things terminate. Sometimes it's time. You move on, but you don't leave God. You don't leave the will of God. You don't leave the place of blessing. Oh, this rest in Christ, this abiding in Christ. Great, great delivering truth there. But we're just nibbling on these things. There's Isaac. And he learns to rest in the land. And then where does that take you? When you get that mature Christian who is living in Canaan, who is living in Christ, who is resting in the land, just digging wells. That everybody's going to live on after a while. Then well, then what do? Well, then it's time to go serve the Lord. And there's Jacob. He's our first missionary. And he heads out. And he goes into a far country to serve for brides and for flocks. Well, where do you think we're doing after God brings you to a place of maturity? And a place, honey, then you go to a far. What do you think Brother Buchanan's doing here? What do you think I'm doing here this week? We're in a far land. This world ain't our home. We're serving to win the bride. We're gathering up sheep and flocks. And one day when I'm about to run, and one day when our labor's finished, we're going to take them all home to the Father. Deliver the bride, and he had two of them. I mean, we get way off in deep waters here. But there is Leah and there is Rachel. And when this, and Leah gave birth to them ten of them boys. And Rachel too. And that's a picture of the two. At the end of this thing, God's going to be married to Israel. And Jesus is going to be married to the bride, to the church. The Old Testament, Israel's his bride. And the church is Jesus' bride. Before you get all tangled up and twisted up. I got a happy bubble mess you up, honey. Oh, we're serving him. We're serving him for the bride. We're serving him for the flocks. What do you think we're taking home to the Father one of these days? They'll be singing on the other side of glory. Here comes the bride. And Israel be gathered up on earth. That was the dust. And the church be gathered up in them glorified bodies. That was the stars. Abraham went out one night and counted the sand, and that was them Jews on the earth coming from the shores of the sea. And then God said, we ain't done counting, son. That ain't all I'm going to have. Now let's count the stars in the sky. And that's that spiritual kingdom. That's that church. Hallelujah. There's an old mountain woman in Tennessee in Knoxville, and she sings that song. Children of the dust headed for the sky. I ain't sure what it all means, but boy, I get happy bubbles when she sings it. I shout anyhow, just on general terms. Amen. Glory to God! You ever get saved and you'll struggle in them two natures, but God can fill you with the Holy Ghost and change your world. It'll be a pure world. And then faith can begin her journey. Y'all ain't helping me. And then when faith gets you into a mature place where you're resting in Christ, then you got enough about you to go serve. Does any of that make sense? Can y'all see that? I'm about to throw a pumpkin run and catch it myself. Hallelujah to God! Oh, I'm trying to get to Joseph, but I'm having some little... I go over there in Albania. Brother Daniel, and I'm gonna take Seth, and I'm scared to take Rusty J. He won't never come home. He'll get called and stay over. We'll take you. Oh, Justin, is it? Pretty good. And we're gonna take you. Now he's got on a black shirt, Johnny Cash with a gold tie, and we're taking your other black shirt boy here with a white tie. What's his name? Yeah, because if we need to whoop somebody, I'm going to turn him loose on them over there. Yes, sir. Now, I know some of you big fat boys could whoop somebody, but you got to do it in 30 seconds or you get winded. Like, if I ain't knocked you out in 20 seconds, just go ahead and take whatever you want. I'll be done. So we're taking Nathan. We'll let him. We got the Russian mafia over there, and the Albanian 32 mafia clans, the Italian mafia. And so we're taking the MMA men back there. Do you boys go with me? I'm going to take Seth over there. First time I ever went in 1994. Got up there on top of a mountain. I never will forget. It was a high, flat-top mountain. And the boy, the father, there was a father. They said our father owns that mountain. And he had five sons. We said, where are your sons? He said, they got my sheep. They're separated in five flocks. And they're down in the valley. And they'll be down there 2 or 3 years getting all them sheep. Fattening them up, letting them have baby sheep. And he said about every 3 years, he said, we'll call the sons and they'll bring the flocks up to the father. Said, and we have a reckoning day. He said, we bring them all up here and we count the sheep. And we have an accounting time. He said, but then we just have a reunion. He said, after we take account for their service and all their sheep that they've been faithful to take care of. He said, then we just have a reunion. Me and my boys spend the winter up here celebrating. One of these days, y'all, there's a Father. Our Father. Our Heavenly Father. And He owns the top of the mountain. And one of these days, when all the sheep have all their baby sheep and we got all the flocks where He wants them, He's going to call us home. And there's going to be a reckoning and an accounting. And we'll not be judged. It won't be sins judged. It'll be sons judged. That's the difference in the judgment seat of Christ for saints and that great white throne judgment for sinners. Amen. Honey, it'll not be sins judged at the judgment seat for Christians. It'll be sons judged. And He's going to judge your service and your faithfulness and your heart. Oh, my. All right, y'all see that? There's Jacob. And then that finally brings us after our service. Then you see Joseph. That final stage. And he's that great suffering saint who's ultimately crowned with glory and honor over the entire land. All right. I actually ran and you didn't see it. I'm already back up here. Now I want you to know before your journey's done, God's going to let that stage come around. You're going to suffer for Him. You're going to suffer with Him. I see Paul, that great saint in the Lord now, down there in prison. He suffered at the end, didn't he? Ended up bound. I'll take you to Rome, there, Seth, and you can come down. That prison where they had Paul locked up in the same cobblestones. They say they're 2,700 years old, right through ancient Rome, right by Caesar's palace, Nero. And right down in the Colosseum where I think they chopped his head off. And that suffered. All them apostles died at the end. Martyrs' death and tortured and suffered. And I'm going to tell you something, child of God. There's a stage out there where you're going to enter into the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, that's seven. But Joseph don't end suffering. He's hauled up out of that earthen pit. Amen. Down there and in between the butler and the baker. Now this is another sermon for another day. I'm remembering some little studies are running back through my head. That butler and the baker. One was hanged. Hanged off a tree. Which one was it now? And what does the baker work with? Bread. And wheat. Does that not remind you of Cain? He brought the fruit of the ground. But the butler was spared and sent in there to serve next to the king. What did he work with? Wine. What's that a picture of? The blood. That fruit of the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. That wine. That's that blood. He held up that bread and broke it and said, this is my body. But then he held up that cup of wine and said, this is my blood. I need to show y'all something. That baker was the one. He was messing with the wheat and the fruit of the ground like Cain. And he ended up hanged on a tree. Eternal curse. But that one that come with blood, he ended up living in the throne room. Y'all ain't helping me. I said the one that came with blood ended up living in the throne room serving the king. Got to live right next to the throne. Now, thank God, there's Joseph. And I want you to know our suffering is not the final story. We will be crowned ultimately with glory and honor. And brought up out of that dungeon, brought up out of that grave, brought up out of that earth body. Somebody say amen. Brought up from the grave and set on the throne. Oh my. Now, there's your seven stages. I'm going to say it like this. Let me make one comment. Aren't you glad God's got these things in order? You notice He didn't put you to serving down there right after you got done struggling. We've seen them, ain't we, Brother Buchanan, these boys. You get saved, put a haircut on the men, and long dress on the women, Bible tracts in their pocket, and 2 weeks later, just if you got a dress and a haircut, they think you're a great Christian. And tell you, now go serve God. Well, I'm glad God has more sense than that. He lets us grow up. He lets us come through some things. Now, and Adam, the sinner, gets saved, and then there's a struggle with two natures. But God will fill you with the Holy Spirit and make everything in your world clean. And then faith can take her journey into rest, into strength, into Christ. And from there you can serve the Lord and bring brides and flocks back to the Father. But you're going to suffer before it's done. But suffering ain't the end. We're going to be resurrected and exalted. Glory. Now, that was the introduction. Sorry, but it really was. That was all introductory remarks. But I'm not going to hold you long. Fret not. Fret not, O thou. I won't hold you long. Just let me say 3 things about it. And I'm probably 5 minutes from being done. But here's what I come to say. Had to say all that to say this. Let me say, 1, these things are transient. I wished it was as simple as 1 through 7, and then you go to heaven. I'm sorry, but the Lord's ways are not our ways. And these things are transient. May have to go back and do some of them again. And it's all different for all of us. And the timing's different. And you know, some people go through the first 3 phases in 10 minutes. They're saved. And God fills them with the Spirit. And they go, and then some people, 10 minutes, and some people, 10 years. And then some people, faith, it takes their whole lifetime for faith to take her journey. And some people, it's so speedy. And some of us, it's just all. And some of you got more suffering than you do service. And some of you, your life consists of great service, while another consists of great suffering. These things are, God's in charge of all of them. God's in charge of all of them. And by the way, He can bury you up in a big old wooden coffin and make everything in your world clean and let you be a changed man. Some of you does that for you when He saved you. Some of you does it for you 20 years later after you struggle a long time. All that's all His business. He knows His children. All children develop differently. I'm about to run. And they're transient. It's kind of like the game of golf. If you hadn't ever played, don't try unless you intend on taking up cussing. And children, don't say any dirty words. But I got news for you. The game of golf. One of the things that the men who love the game of golf is that you can't never master it. That's so encouraging to me. To turn on the masters. And watch men that's been playing since they were 3 days old. I mean, they had their baby rattle and was knocking a passy in the hole. You know, men been playing golf their whole life and can't drive it on the fairway. I just feel so good when I see that. I love to see that y'all are as goofed up as I am. And when is it? I don't even want to say Tiger, the name Tiger. Turned out he wasn't a tiger. He was a cheetah. This is terrible. And he wasn't even a full-blooded cheetah. He was a lion cheetah. That's original. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Brother David, that's original. I made that up. Thank you. But I like to see, I apologize, Pastor. But I like to see them boys, that lion cheetah. And I love to watch old Phil Mickelson lose because he's a Brit. But And I love it when the best in the world are that far. The hole's that big. Who blows that big? They're that far. Been playing the whole life. Nothing in the way. They poop is a mess. I love to see a mess. I watch the Masters just to see how goofy they all look, and they've been doing it their whole life. And that's the beauty and the thrill of that game, is that no one ever can master it. And in golf, you didn't play the other guy, you play yourself. And the Christian life so much like that. Somebody can be in this their whole life and didn't miss a putt that close. Moses lost his temper at the end of the journey. Beat that rock and drove it off in the trees. And see, these things are transient. That means that just because you've been through a stage don't mean that God won't take you back through and relearn it again. You can be saved 40 years and go back to phase two. Struggle with them two natures again. God has a good way of taking you back. He can put you in a coffin another time if he wants to. There may have been some things got in your world that ain't clean and pure. Now, he ain't going to flood this world no more, but he'll flood yours. Amen. Oh, and you see, so don't ever get... And you may serve the Lord one time before and when, and then come back and God call you again. First time I preached this thing, I was out in Nebraska. And that's a funny story, but leave me alone. They let me borrow a hybrid, a little Indian family, green people. And that little green car, it was a hybrid. I mean, it's almost electric. I'm bigger than that whole car. My belly alone was bigger than that car. I didn't park it in the, I put it in my pocket and carried it in the motel with me. First thing, I was in Omaha, downtown Omaha. That's where I was preaching. And this little Indian family, they was forever children. They had enough children to go back and repopulate India. And they were all so happy. This big southern preacher would drive our little hybrid car. And I pull up to the stoplight and it died. I thought, and it was supposed to, but I didn't know that. I was panicking. I was calling people. 911, called the pastor, called the Indian man. Your car died because it's stupid, because it's a hybrid. He said, just mash the pedal, it will go again. It turned out the car wasn't stupid. But I was out there and that pastor's wife, she's one of the best pianists I ever run into, and she's a southern girl, and her daddy was a missionary, and mama, lifelong missionaries. But you know what? Her daddy died, and they're preparing a little basement apartment for her mama. And her mama said this. She said, honey, I've lived for the Lord and been through everything all these years, and I feel like I'm starting all over. Yeah. She said, I'm struggling, and I'm alone. And my faith. She said, Brother Dean. She said, you can be through all seven stages. So she patted my cheek, gray-haired lady. She said, but you can start all over again. She said, you're right about it. Number two, God loves you unconditionally at every stage. There's only one stage you can't redo, and that's the first one. You ain't never got to be a sinner again and get saved again. That only happened one time. I ran, and you didn't know it. I'm already back. And he went with me. That's why you felt a breeze. No big nephew went with me. I said, God loves you unconditionally. Amen. At every stage. We have it in our minds, our religious mind, our reasoning mind. We have it in our mind because we're independent fundamental, straight as a gun barrel, twice as empty, and premillennial fundamental. Pull the roof off your church and burn your barn down. Biscuits and gravy, high blood pressure, Baptist. And you know, you got to be all of that. But we're not quite right. We're the only people who believe you're saved forever, but never quite right with God. Yeah. And the poor Pentecostal people don't even think they can stay saved. Somehow they shout over it, you know. What's wrong with us? We somehow think that we got to make an A+ on every stage or he don't like us.
That's right.
And can't bless us or won't use us. And think we got to clear every hurdle and fly in colors. I did run. We ran again. Y'all missed it. Because I came out of that delivery room with my little baby boy. Me and Jennifer went 7 years not able to have kids. It didn't bother her the first two. It didn't bother me the first seven. I was the baby and things were going good. But it was killing her. Year 3 and 4, she couldn't. And then year 5 and 6. And she was just like Rachel. Give me children or else I die. And she wasn't suicidal or psychotic. But no, she had that in her soul. Give me children or else I die. And so I was in my mid-30s when I had my first one. I'd already been a preacher. I was already felt like an old man of God and had my baby. I ain't never been in father gear. I was in grandfather gear. Yeah. That's a scary big old man on the inside. Whatever he does, I disagree with him. I came out of that delivery room with my boy. And everybody made fun of me for how pathetic I was. I mean, they did for 2 or 3 years. You know something crazy? Brother Rusty J, I didn't walk out of that delivery. What would you thought of me if I'd have walked out there and said, now, son, don't really know you, don't really like you yet. You're going to have to do real good in some of these stages. You know, if you get through the toddler stage, I may keep you. Depending on how well you act in the childhood stage, I may start taking a liking to you. If you come through adolescence and don't get real stupid, I may begin to, maybe I'd be willing to fellowship with you a little bit. You got to come through your teenage years, son, and do perfect before I... Why do we think God's that way? When I want, hey! And that boy, they pulled him out. Slapped him. I about slapped 4 people when they slapped my back. I don't care if she was a woman. She looked like she had come unslapped. I was going to slap her. They smacked that boy. Put him in my arms. He said, Daddy, you take him. You walk him out of the delivery room. Over here and we're going to work on, you know, do the baby stuff. I pull their lungs out, tuck them back in, whatever they do. And I walked out of there and looked at that boy. There wasn't no stages. There wasn't no if you will this, if you will that. I wasn't 3 steps out, done determined no matter what he ever done, I was going to love him. No matter what he ever done, I was going to be mine. I was going to love him. Some of y'all are like, well, I didn't do good in stage 2, and I messed up stage 4. And I was in the service stage, but I'm all the way back to the struggling stage, and I don't know if God left. Honey, the day he drawn you out of the womb. He said, you sure look like me. Y'all didn't get that. He said, you look like me. You're mine. And he loved you with a love that no man could ever have. If ye then, being evil, know how to love your youngest, how much more? And he loves you unconditionally at every stage. And you know, my boy ain't been perfect He'd been near perfect, but he ain't been perfect. And I loved him. I'm done now. We're not going to go any further tonight. I've loved him. Can I tell y'all something? This is personal. I'm going to let you in our house and in our private rooms for a minute. When there's babies, especially before their schooling come along, it's a little tougher now. We traveled together. My kids, they knew what a motel room was and a camper trailer. Didn't even know what their own house was. And we always slept piled up somewhere in the same vicinity. The motel room or that camper was all piled up together. And I know they say you ain't supposed to, but I'm a grandpa. I'm a father, grandfather, father, papa, paw. Paw. And we've always slept in the same room or same vicinity in them motels and in them. And so Preston, he's 10, and we go home. A little bedroom way on the other end of the Sahara Desert. And for years, we was always within arm's reach. And he can't do that. And Jennifer, she tries to be a strict disciplinarian. But I let him eat ice cream and peanut butter any time of the day. And our homeschooling, it's recess all the time. It's a field trip every day is Friday when I'm there. You want to run with Daddy down to the store? They're in the middle of English. I'll have them repeat their vows, you know, because. And so it was the weirdest thing. It got to, not weird, but it was just, it bothered me. We'd be in our big old bed there, and he's in the other end of the house. And I'd wake up 2 a.m. and he'd come in there and got on the floor. He'd laid on the floor next to me. Laid on the carpet sleeping without no blankets or pillows or covers. Man, we tried to tell him, don't do that. Now you stay in your bed. Every night at 2 a.m., he'd be on that floor. Well, Jennifer tried to train him, but I made him a pallet. She'd say, you turn this to... I'd tell him. I'd go in there and tuck him in. I'd say, Preston, you and Chloe stay in the bed. She could hear that. And I'd say, but if y'all get up in the middle of the night, I got you some pillows and covers. Amen. And it's right now, it's a true story. I'm just telling y'all something. And it's where I can roll over and lean over. And I touch my boy's head. And you go there right now, look on my side of the bed. There's 7 pillows and 2 blankets. And Jennifer gave up. She don't even clean it up. And Preston and Chloe done figured out they can come in there any time of the night. Curl up and I'll just lean over there. Pet their head. I don't give a rip whether they're in their own bed or not. I like it they're close to their father. That's all they knew was being close to mom and daddy, and they don't like not being close. And I'd lean over there and not even open my eyes sometimes and there and pet his head. I'd make sure he had that little cover on him and them pillows. Now something bad's happened. He got a little bigger. And in the last 4 months, Jennifer had been working him and running him. And he'd been staying in his bed. And I lean over. And he ain't there. And I feel lonely. And I want to go in there with him. Second morning I've done that for about 4 months now. He's sleeping all night in there and I don't like it. Second time not that I leaned over and he wasn't there. And I'm just going to confess something to y'all now. I'm embarrassed to tell you how wicked I am. I leaned over, patted it, wasn't there, and the Holy Ghost talked to me. Said, you used to get up at 4 o'clock every morning when you was a young preacher. And you'd come lay next to me. I'm ashamed to tell you, I mean, my schedule and my travels and some of the habits are different. And the Father told me, he said, I've been leaning over there feeling for you in the mornings. You ain't been there. So we have a little bit getting back to our baby days. First love. He loves us unconditionally at every stage. One of these days, some of y'all have to tell me about it when they're grown and gone. Do you wake up and still think they're there sometimes? Maybe nothing's better than Christmas or Thanksgiving when they all are back home. Sister Sandy. I wonder if our Father gets to missing us because we get too busy in our life. We get too big and we get to be a little big boy and self-sufficient and don't need to run to daddy's anymore. Wonder if our Father wants us all to still act like a baby. Still act like we need Him. Act like we want Him. I hope some of that made sense. Did any of that make any sense to y'all? God looked down through all them stages and all them. That was His boy every time. Every one of them rascals, that was His boy.
Amen.
All right, I'm trying to hush. I guess we ought to just come pray. I don't never know how to give an altar call around here. Come play some music, sis. Let's all stand and make it easy to move. Some of you, the Father's leaned over there and felt for you, and you ain't been there in a long time. You haven't been there in a long time. Won't you come lay down where He can feel you? Won't you get back to where you used to be? He loves you at every stage.